When we obey, we are putting ourselves in the path of God's will.
Elizabeth Elliot studied Greek in college with the goal of working as a Bible translator. Shortly after arriving in Ecuador, she married fellow missionary Jim Elliot, who was later killed while trying to reach out to the fierce Alca Indians. Here on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth shares with us the insights from her remarkable journey as a daughter, mother, wife, widow, and missionary. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking today about the comfort of discipline. The comfort of discipline. Discipline doesn't always seem like a very comfortable thing, does it? Not while it's going on, but it is amazing how comforting it can be when it's all over, to realize that the shepherd cares enough for me to discipline me. That's so reassuring. The Bible tells us that God disciplines us as a father disciplines his child. And we can be sure that when he disciplines us, he is assuring us of our true sonship. If we were not disciplined, the Bible says, then we are bastards and not sons. So let's think about the comfort of discipline. In our last talk, we were discussing the call of God, and I was telling you the story of how St. Francis of Assisi received his call. When he believed that God had given him a call, then he went out and did something about it. When we obey, we are putting ourselves in the path of God's will. A single step taken is the beginning of a sheep's following the shepherd. We will learn to know his voice. My husband and I attended a small church here in Massachusetts one Sunday. It was a small room packed with people, and it seemed to us that about a third of the congregation was under the age of six. I'm sure that that would be an exaggeration, but we were so distracted by the creaking of pews, the rustling of papers, the dropping of crayons and toys and nickels for the offering, talking, crying, traipsing up and down the aisles to the restroom. It was really almost impossible to listen to the sermon. And I could hear my husband breathing more and more heavily and shifting his position and generally stiffening up as this went on, because it was painfully obvious that those young parents in that church had no idea how to control their children. Unfortunately, we were sitting right behind the father of one small child, and for some reason, his wife, the child's mother, was sitting in front of him. So this child wanted to sit with Daddy. So over Mommy's shoulder came the child into Daddy's lap, plunk. Well, how long do you think that lasted? About 45 seconds. I want to sit with Mommy. So back over Mommy's shoulder into Mommy's lap, plunk. Maybe 90 seconds went by. Back over the back of the pew into Daddy's lap. And so it went. We were at another church, not very long after that, where there were hundreds of children. They were absolutely quiet. I didn't even notice that there were any trips to the restroom, and of course, that is necessary. If a child has to go, he has to go. So back they go, traipsing out, but we all know that children often make trips to the fountain and the restroom just because they're restless. So we asked the secret in the other church, in the second church, why is it that your children are so obedient? The answer was, we believe parents should control their children. Well, I said, where did you get that idea? Well, from the Bible. Proverbs 13, verse 24 says, a father who spares the rod hates his son, but one who loves him keeps him in order. I want to emphasize that this is not Elizabeth Elliot speaking here. This is God's word. A father who spares the rod hates his son. Now, I mentioned the use of a rod in disciplining children. I've had several young mothers on this program, and some of them have shared with us the ways in which they have found discipline to be effective with their small children. Predictably, I've gotten some negative mail, especially from people who were abused when they were children. And although in those programs, when we have mentioned the use of a rod, I've tried to say, I'm not talking about a 2x4, I'm not talking about a baseball bat, I'm not talking about any cruel weapon. I'm talking about a small thing like perhaps a ruler or a paint stirrer, something other than the hand of the father and mother, so that the child learns to associate this particular instrument with punishment rather than the hand, which should be used for loving and stroking the child, as the instrument of punishment. And I can certainly understand how difficult it must be for someone who has been abused by parents who punished in anger and punished violently and unfairly to imagine that it's possible for a child to be disciplined lovingly by a loving parent. Just this week, there was a program on a certain talk show on TV in which this very question came up. The whole program was on disciplining small children. The members of the panel were young mothers whose children were totally out of control. And I was exceedingly disturbed by the fact that they used the word hit instead of the word spank. Not once did I hear the word spank. They were asking questions like, well, how long do I let something go on before I hit him? And the entire conversation with the experts as well as the amateur parents was on the basis of hitting versus some other method of discipline, such as talking to the child. One of the experts, believe it or not, and this brought down the house because the ordinary sensible people in the audience could see the fallacy of it, one of the experts said that if the child has scribbled all over the walls, knowing very well that he is not supposed to scribble all over the walls, then the mother could go in and say, you know, I think maybe you're going to be a great painter one of these days. Or when the little boy dumps his tomato juice into his sister's strawberry milkshake, the mother says to the child, I think you have a very acute sense of color. Now we need to develop that. Well, I'm trying to say today that there is comfort in biblical discipline. I'm not talking about abuse. The scripture makes it plain that the keeping of order sometimes requires an instrument. In the first church, according to scripture, those parents hated their children because the father who does not correct his child hates his child. In the second church, it was very clear not only that the parents loved their children, but that the children were happier, more secure, much less restless. Now let me define a spanking. What I mean by a spanking is a measure of pain, physical pain, quietly administered. A stick or a switch is not a weapon. It is simply an implement that the child very well understands. A child of 18 months does not understand the reasons why he can't climb up on the glass coffee table or pour tomato juice into his sister's drink. But a child of 18 months very well understands the swat given to his little open palm with a paint stirrer or a wooden spoon. He understands that language. It doesn't inflict any permanent damage. It teaches the child that that kind of behavior will be rewarded with pain, a measure of pain quietly administered. And then, this is extremely important, after the spanking is administered, the mother takes the child on her lap, and she says, honey, you won't believe this, but I did that because I love you. I don't want you to grow up to be a selfish, thoughtless person. I want to help you to learn to do what's right. I want to help you to please God. I have a dear friend in Wales. She's the wife of a shepherd. And she wrote me this in a letter. All the sheep were brought down from the mountain early this year, about 1,000 breeding ewes. 200 are wintering in a lowland farm, while the others are hand-fed here with hay and maize. The grass is covered with snow. When John wants to move sheep or cows from one pasture to another, it's a hopeless job when the lambs or calves take to running their own way. They will be followed invariably by their mothers, who will go headlong after their offspring, blindly in their care for them. What chaos! If only the parents would stay where they were, holding their ground, defending their standpoint, the little ones would eventually return to them and would willingly be led together to the right place. And then she says, although our men are fighting hard against nature's elements these days, even that's easier than fighting unchanged, selfish human nature. I wonder, are the sheep and cows a true picture of what's happening in the world? Roadmen are refusing to grit and salt the snow-covered roads. Dustmen, gravediggers, and others are pressing for more money. It's true that money is the source of all evils. If it isn't the capitalists, it's the workers. This has been true in every generation. But now parents are leaning over backwards to please their children, afraid of displeasing them. Teachers live in fear of their pupils at school. Bosses are afraid of the workers, government of trade unions. It's anarchy. Anarchy is the complete absence of order and authority. Children are lacking in the comfort of discipline. Do you love your children? Then give them the comfort of discipline.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.